This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Hey, very happy birthday out to a couple people. Nick Pivetta.
Congratulations, Nick.
Allegedly San Diego Padre, Nick Pivetta.
It's Valentine's Day, baby.
Yeah, not official yet, but also tomorrow, one of our tier ones, Luis Enrique Gomez, turning 50 tomorrow. I'll see you in July, buddy.
I'll see you in November.
Turn 50.
Yeah, it was very Valentine. Not only did the Padres sign someone with a birthday on Valentine's Day, they also signed a pitcher named Hart.
Yeah.
Just in front of Valentine's
Day. That's exactly right.
AJ is just going, he's the bit master this
week. Wait till we sign Bill Sex. He's also in the KBO. He's really, it's S-E-C-K-S. Yes.
Congratulations to Chris, who won the Aztecs tickets. We got some Padres spring training tickets to give away later this hour. Right now, though, it is 9 o'clock, and it is time once again for our biggest fan. First name announcement of the day, last one of the week. If you hear your name, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back and qualify for our grand prize, 833-288-0973. The grand prize, of course, is the night in the Odyssey Suite at a Padres game. 20 tickets to a game. Full use of our suite for an upcoming game this Padres season. Your 10 minutes starts now for Jose Rodriguez from San Diego. Jose Rodriguez from San Diego. The phone lines are open to you and you alone at 833-288-0973. Call and we'll put you into the drawing for our grand prize. You can get your name in by registering at 973thefansd.com/biggest fan.
Now here's where it will get interesting. We don't usually have guests at this time, but we are expecting to talk with Matty V here in just about 3 minutes. So I guess Jose, you do have 3 minutes to call for sure, and then anything after
we see
that,
him, we'll put you on
we'll
hold.
Have to put you on hold. So just stay
yeah,
on just hold.
Stay on
is
hold.
What I'm
we'll
saying.
Get you. Through, yeah, we'll get you. Or we'll just put Matty on hold and go
Matt,
to our
hang on
fan.
For a second. We got to take our biggest fan. We'll be right back with you, buddy.
I mean, you know, we had him scheduled an hour ago,
we
so
did.
We're
right.
Accommodating Matty.
It's all right.
Now we appreciate that he gives us any time at all.
Literally,
he's fairly big in the world of baseball and baseball media.
Big name,
pretty big
huge
name,
huge name.
I mean, Vascurgeon is a big name.
It's a very
on
big
its
name.
Own, but
what's the origin there?
He is, it's not Greek.
I was going to say Greek.
But it's like Albanian or something, I think.
Armenian?
Armenian, yes. Armenian, that's right. Armenian. That's where the Vascurgian clan comes from.
Beautiful. Handsome dude.
Well, we can ask him all about it because guess what?
He's
calling in as we speak.
Let's go straight to him?
Yeah, we'll dispense with the preliminaries and just bring him right on to the air because he's a pro. And welcome from MLB Network. Matt Vascurgeon returning to Bennett Woods. Happy Valentine's Day, Matty V.
Oh, gosh. Today's Valentine's Day. Thanks for the heads up.
You are welcome.
taken care of.
As do I, as does I think everybody on the show but Pauly, who planned ahead and hid his flowers in a closet or something last night, made the rest of us look terrible, Matty V. So there you go. Well, we got to start here. I feel like you are William Wallace on the set of MLB Network. I feel like you're William Wallace, like a man by himself defending the San Diego Padres right now from our beloved Harold. I love Harold. I do. He's been trying to trade our whole team for the last 2 weeks. Literally, anybody with a pulse, he's like, you got to get them out of there. You have to do it. They gotta go. And I see you in the war paint, like, hold, we're not going anywhere. And I want to tell you, we're appreciative, but also, what's his problem right now?
It's such an accurate take. Harold has a way of shooting from the hip. And it really doesn't matter what the topic is. It could be, you know, the plight of the humpback whale. It could be the San Diego Padres. It could be congestion pricing in New York City. He's going to have a hot take. He's not really going to think about it much, but he's going to tell you exactly what he feels at that moment. And I think you could kind of argue Harold back to the, hey, the Kevin Bacon all is well mantra from Animal House.
Yes.
Because the Padres are good. I mean, there's not a lot of tweaking to be done. It's still an elite bullpen. It's a really elite starting staff now. And I know everybody's making a big deal about the 10-man rotation the Dodgers have put together. But San Diego's 1-5 is as good as anybody's, including the Dodgers, especially with the Pivetta signing. And bringing in a guy from Korea who won their Korean Cy Young Award, and I know it's let's be clear, it's not Major League Baseball, but they've assembled some depth. They're going to score runs. There's no question in anybody's mind that San Diego, as it stands right now, is a postseason caliber team. And once you get to the second season in October, anything can happen, as we know. I guess the concerns are built around not 2025, but beyond that. You've got Dylan Cease for another year. Is the time right to maximize his value and make a trade before you lose him to free agency, potentially? Because I don't know that there's enough resource there. There's enough canvas for another long-term pitching contract. The Bogarts deal and the Darvish deal and the Manny deal are, and I'm just not sure that they're going to be able to spend like that moving forward. So this might be the best and last year to keep the band together and make that push, unless AJ gets the right offer for Cease, and I think he'd listen if something good was out there, and then you try to stay competitive while still keeping an eye on the future. Remember all the great prospects that have gone in some of the recent deals, so there could probably be a replenishing done at the same time. A lot of teams have had success in staying competitive and rebuilding at the same time. It's a really delicate balance. It's not easy to do. But the Yankees have done it. The Cubs have done it. And I think the Padres, whatever they choose, it's not going to be without a ton of thought and research.
Oh, and Matt, you're right. AJ is listening. He said yesterday, I'm absolutely listening. I have to listen about players like Dylan Cease and even Michael King and Robert Suarez. So I understand where Harold's coming from. I think, though, when he mentioned, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., like going with the full rebuild, we just saw it in the NBA this last week. The reaction of Dallas Mavericks fans when Luka Doncic was traded. And we get the sense that if they traded Tatis, whether it was a smart deal or you could argue, hey, I think they won that trade with what they got back, you'd have a revolution just because of the way people feel about him in this town now.
Yeah, that's probably right. And I think Harold was talking about present day value on the contract. And when Tatis inked that deal in the middle, $300 million, at the time, our jaws dropped, but we also understood it was an age-based thing, that if a guy like that hit the open market 4 years later, the price would be far north of what was it, 360 or something in that category for him?
Yeah, 340 something, but it doesn't look – it looks good now. Like, other teams would be happily taking on that kind of deal.
Right, and I think that's probably what he was thinking about in terms of his being an attractive trade piece. But internally, like, that makes him attractive to stay, too. The fact that you have this generational talent who's healthy again, who's proven he can move off the shortstop spot and still drive in runs. I'm telling you, man, like, we saw Fernando Tatis at his best against the Dodgers in the Division Series this past year. those first 2.5 games when he was 6 for his first 10 with 3 homers, everything off his bat was an extra base hit. How they didn't finish that series and win it is still a mystery to me, how the bats went completely quiet and then the Dodgers roll to a World Series. But he is, I guess, considered a value. It's ridiculous to say that about anybody with that kind of price tag, but the Soto deal just ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
Flat out. And now you're looking at a guy who signed for $347 as a bargain. That's where we are today.
Talking to the great Matty V here on Ben and Woods this morning. So there's a couple of teams I'm looking at, Matty, this offseason that, you know, I was really high on and wondered would they spend some money. I continue to go back to the Seattle Mariners as one where if I'm a Mariners fan, you know, look, we're Padres fans. We haven't had the most postseason success, but there's been some. You know, there's been some. You're talking just a tiny little taste in a couple of decades in Seattle and really didn't do much to address their needs this offseason with that insane rotation. They're really good bullpen as well. That's got to be frustrating. But, you know, I still think they make the playoffs. Who's one of those teams that you look at and go, sneaky good, these guys are going to be good this year, watch out for who?
Well, I wouldn't call the Red Sox sneaky now that they've signed Alex Bregman, but after the Crochet trade, the Bregman signing, they're not sneaking up on anybody. They're going to be good. I still think, and I do this every year, I fall for the banana in the tailpipe on the Toronto Blue Jays every year.
We all do.
I've done it again this year, right? The difference there will be if the long-term contract discussions with Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette become distracting, then it could really change things there. I'll give you a team actually who I think fits in that same category as Seattle that I thought would be more active this winter and hasn't, and it's the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah,
they don't have any really cumbersome, outstanding payroll commitments the way the Padres do, unfortunately. They're lean ever since Joey Votto's money went away. It feels like they've been on the verge of spending. And in a division that we all think is winnable, I mean, there are legitimately 3 teams that could vie for that division title. I'm just really surprised they didn't do a lot more than just the one trade that they did with the Royals to get a starting pitcher, which was a nice trade.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just counting on that internal improvement, the way the Blue Jays have for years to get there.
Matt, I know you think you're on with a Padres audience, and you are, but we also have a lot of Dodgers fans. They hate listening to us.
Oh, it's great.
And they're really mad, especially now, because I am one of those people that is in the camp that what the Dodgers are doing now is not good for baseball. They're not doing anything wrong. I'm not saying they're cheating or doing anything outside the rules. They're taking advantage of loopholes and their own built-in advantages. And I understand that it doesn't mean they're going to win the World Series, but my argument is simply that what they have done has taken away a lot of hope from other teams because they know they can never match what the Dodgers are doing. How do you reconcile that in terms of what the Dodgers have done these last 2 off seasons, that win a World Series and then go right back in and just hammer everybody else in this off season?
You know, I guess the only thing that I would say that could bring some optimism to the other 29 cities that aren't Los Angeles is that last year, winning the offseason and then winning the World Series rarely go hand in hand. It just doesn't go that way. And look, as we just mentioned, the Dodgers were a few innings away from losing to the Padres in the division series when they had that advantage. And then all of a sudden, the Padres' bats went flat. I would say get to the postseason if you're one of those other cities, one of those other teams, and you have every bit the opportunity to beat the Dodgers. Who knows who's going to be healthy? I know they have, you know, 10 guys that can start, and they're probably going to build in all this rest, especially for the 2 Japanese pitchers that require the 6-man rotation, especially for a guy like Kershaw who's not going to start the year healthy. They're good. They're deep. They can buy whatever they want. They still might figure out a way to land Nolan Arenado, by the way, which would just, I mean, that would put your argument in a perfect spot. But I do think that in a 5-game series, anything can happen. It's the old any given Sunday thing in the NFL. I get it. It's cliche, but it's also very real. Look at what happened to the Phillies the last couple of years.
No doubt.
I never thought they were world beaters. The Braves got beat in the division series back-to-back seasons. So I do think that they're really good. They could win 104 games in the regular season, and somebody could still knock them off in October.
Matty V, what's the talk around the office? You're, you know, you with some high level people in the game, talking to high level people in the game. We all kind of know what's coming down the pike after the CBA expires. Do you foresee, because I've heard some rumors from people in baseball that said, look, the Dodgers know kind of what's coming and they're taking advantage of it now, which I think is really smart business. I wish I had that kind of business acumen to be able to forecast what was coming. But, you know, based on everything you've heard and got people you've talked to, are things going to change in baseball in a year and a half or 2 years?
Boy, Woodsy, I hope some of the fears are unrealized, that there'll be, you know, games lost. The words like lockout are the worst words you can hear when you work in baseball. I'm optimistic that they can avoid a lot of that because they know what's at stake. But I think one of the really interesting things coming down the road is going to be, and it might converge with the expiration of the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, which is done at the end of the 26 season, is the use of the automated balls and strikes system, the ABS system. We just had a call with the league office yesterday, and they went through some of the details of how it's going to be used in spring training this year. So it's been in play in the minors in AAA for the last couple seasons, and the league has collected data. They've talked to umpires, players, player executives, coaches, fans to a lesser degree about how they feel about the system. It's been positive, the feedback. Now they're going to put it in at select Grapefruit and Cactus League ballparks for this coming spring training, and we're going to see how it works with big league players. You have two challenges per game on a balls and strikes call. This is the kind of inaugural rules treatment for this. The batter, the catcher, or the pitcher are the ones that can issue the challenge. You're going to have roughly 5 seconds to do that. So you can't call timeout, have the guys in the video room look at a replay of the pitch and then relay challenge or not to the manager the same way you can on a standard managerial challenge. This has to happen from somebody involved in the pitch, batter, pitcher, catcher. If you win your challenge and the call's overturned, then you get the challenge back. They play it on the scoreboard. Almost like when you're watching tennis on TV and yep. That eagle eye system shows you the line calls. Think of what it's created in tennis. No players ever argue in or out. They never argue boundaries anymore. John McEnroe would have been out of business with this system. So now we're going to have it in baseball. And if the players like it, no problem, because I think the league would usher in some version of it. Not this year. They made it clear it would not be in Major League Baseball this year, but maybe 26, 27, perhaps, as a part of the new collective bargaining agreement. If the league loves it and the players don't, then it becomes one of these negotiation things. Yep. I think it's really a fascinating thing to watch, and I can't wait to see the first spring games when we get this ABS system in play.
They will use anything to negotiate against you. I mean, if they got word that the owners liked it, the players would automatically hate it, and vice versa. I mean, it is.
That's really true.
It's going to be really,
it's
really interesting.
It's partly a game, yeah. But it's serious, too, because the ramifications are so bad for fans. All right, before you go, Maddie, we got to hang out with Mudd a couple of weeks ago at Fantasy Camp. Yeah. You know, he's still Mudd.
Sorry.
And we were reminiscing.
Did he leave anything for you guys to eat?
No, he did not. He was always first in line.
First
at lunch,
in line.
Now that you mention
he's
it.
He's probably listening right now.
He probably
so
is. Yeah, give us just one memory of the Maddie Mudd days, Channel 4 or Padres, just something to share with our audience.
Here's one, and it just happens so frequently. It's burned into my pathos. whether it's post-game beers or the media dining room, you know, it comes that magical time where you have to produce a credit card and pay, and Mudd somehow left his wallet in his other pants, and it's like, oh, Maddie, can you get me?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, yeah, I got him. Thanks. It's immediate.
What's the total you think?
And sometimes it would be like, I'd be like, Mudd, I got this. Okay. Let me get this from Mudd. Okay.
No fight. Just zero fight.
No fight.
What? Plus minus. You're up what? $5,000 easy.
You know, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
But it's kind of that no fight move that your dog makes when he thinks you're going to scratch his belly.
Yeah.
And they go right onto their back with all four paws up in the air. That's mud when the check comes.
It's amazing. The old T-Rex arms will get you, dude. He's one of a kind. Yeah. Oh. He's the best, man. Well, have a great season, man. We love watching you. Tell our boy Jake Peavy we say hi. He's fantastic on every time he's on, too. So hope to see you around the ballpark at some point.
Good talking to you guys. You got it.
All right, buddy.
Matt Vasgersian, the great Matt of V, MLB Network. Knew that would be good.
Oh, he's great.
Always so good.
Doesn't surprise me about Mudd, even a little.
It's weird to have Matty V live on our show and then also have Matty V on our television in a replay on MLB Network.
He looks so good with the salt and pepper beard. Mine is not flowing like his. Really looks good.
God, he is one of the best.
His hair kind of blends right into the beard.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Looks great.
Love All right. We just got some new audio from spring training from Sammy Levitt. Connor Joe in the clubhouse for the first time. We can play a little bit of that, and we're going to give away some Padres spring training tickets as well coming up in our next segment. First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about trust and will. Not a subject that you're probably really interested to think about a lot,
but
this is a way to take care of it quickly. Hassle-free, without a huge amount of cost, like going to a lawyer, and getting that peace of mind knowing that you're taking care of your family if something should happen to you.
What do they say? You rather have it and not need it right now? Just make sure you get it done. It's one of those things I thought about and kind of put off and pushed to the side, but was happy to log on to trustandwill.com, my information, pick my dependents and things like that. But wanted to remind you, man, not only the will, you got to talk about the trust as well. Keeps your family out of probate court. A will will not. If you don't have the trust, they will be going to probate court, and it's not fun for anybody. A lot of fees, a lot of heartache. Take 9 to 18 months to settle your estate. Nobody wants that.
You think things will be fine, but over 60% of families experience conflict when dividing assets when someone dies without leaving a clear will or trust.
Not surprised.
You can
by
avoid
that.
It. Man.
Yeah, you can avoid it.
So again, go to trustandwill.com, use the code San Diego, all one word, to get 10% at checkout, free shipping of all your estate documents at trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com. You can imagine. Thanks again to Matt Vasgersian. Always fun talking with Matty V for a few minutes. But as we were doing that, Sammy Levitt was in the Padres clubhouse in Peoria, Arizona, getting some more player interviews, including the first comments from one of the newest members of the Padres, Connor Joe, who just happens to, of course, be a San Diego native from Poway High School and the University of San Diego. He's got the double, high school and college in San Diego.
Great dude.
Almost felt inevitable that he would make his way to the San Diego Padres at some point. And this year, the opportunity arose at the same time as a need for the San Diego Padres at, you know, some positions that he plays. So that is here. But, yeah, I mean, he grew up here and he was legitimately Padres fan growing up in San Diego, and he talked a little bit about that with Sam Levitt and reporters this morning in Peoria.
Yeah, I grew up in Poway, and as you know, a lot of Padres live in Poway. I grew up knowing that, you know, Tony Gwynn lived down the street from me. Bruce Bochy lived down the street. As I was playing Little League, I got to cross paths and rub shoulders with guys like Phil Nevin, Jose Vizcaino, David Justice. Padres were around my community, and I got to see them and realize this is possible. So that's really cool. I remember the 98 World Series, watching that team and falling in love with those guys. And then as I got older, watching the teams play at Petco. But little things like my dad bidding at auctions to get a behind-the-scenes tour with Bruce Bochy at Qualcomm Stadium, where he flipped to me in the batting cage and got to go in the dugout. Stuff like that. And we did that at Petco, too. I'm just growing up watching the Padres and wanting to see them win.
Considering growing up in Poway, your Padres fandom, when you think about the opportunity here at this time with some of the players in this clubhouse, what this team did a year ago, your feelings on that in particular, the opportunity to maybe accomplish something special with this team in San Diego?
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad I'm in this clubhouse. Playing them has been exhausting the last couple of years. I think it goes without saying, they're superstars in this clubhouse, and if I could find a role and compliment them, I think it's great. A great opportunity for me. To watch what they did last year was exciting. Obviously, we were out of contention, and to watch them make a run at it in the playoffs was special. I think everyone has their opinion on who the best team in the playoffs was. I think this team definitely had a chance, and that's really cool. And trying to be a part of it and push it over the finish line this year and make a run at it this year would be really cool.
Well, if you wanted to instantly ingratiate yourself to a fan base.
Done.
There you go. That's all we need. We're not
going right ahead.
Not, it's not
I believe he checked off every single box.
We've learned one thing. Connor Joe
is a very smart dude. It's USD, so like you know he's a smart guy.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm in this clubhouse. Man, love cheering for those Padres when I was growing up. Got a chance to do something special here. Yeah, Connor, the entire fan base is now ready to welcome you with open arms to the San Diego Padres.
Man, just one of the most genuine people I've ever been fortunate enough to meet. And was kind as could be every single time. First big leaguer my son ever met when he was his very first game. It was Rockies. It was Chris Paddock's first start. And went down and got to say hello to Connor. Bo was just a baby. I mean, he was a tiny, tiny little baby, man. And, you know, he was as kind and genuine as anybody could be. And again, it's like when I tweeted when we got him, I'm a Connor Joe fan. Connor Joe, the player, is what he is, right? At this point in his career, looking to help a ball club anyway. It's Connor Joe, the human being that, you know, I know we're only supposed to want the best of the best and, you know, but you need guys like this on your squad. You just do. No team, except for the Dodgers, has 26 superstars on their team. Well, they got Kike Hernandez, who
25 and Kike.
25 yeah. And Kike, but there's value in what he brings, and I think a guy
24
like,
Kike and Austin Barnes.
I yeah, think fair enough. Right. I'll give you that. Glue guys, right? But I know he can contribute. He's got a really good eye. He plays really, really hard and can play multiple positions. So, but the human being is who I just adore.
We have more Connor Joe audio. Why don't we just direct you to the 97.3 The Fan socials. You can get some of that. There's some Jason Hayward videos coming in as well. If we have time, we'll play some. I'm sure Annie and Elston will get to it as well. We got to give away some tickets, though, to spring training right now. We got another four-pack here this week, our last one this week, and then I believe Annie and Elston are going to be giving some away next week. But if you'd like to join us at spring training, we'll be out there in a couple of weeks and win four tickets to your choice of games at the Peoria Sports Complex, any Padres home game. You can call right now. Fifth caller at 833-288-0973 is going to not only win the four-pack of tickets, but also qualify for our grand prize drawing, four tickets to a Padres Guardians game at Petco Park on April the 2nd. You can get your own spring tickets now if you're heading out to Arizona at PeoriaBaseball.com. Paulie's got our Rondo Report, final segment of the week going into the holiday weekend. Final segment until Tuesday.
Yeah, buddy.
Of Ben and Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, my Valentine's Day present to you, Ben. Go ahead, before the Rondo Report. Get it out, what you need to get out.
We haven't talked about the Genesis Invitational
okay.
at all today.
Happy Valentine's
Thank
Day
you.
From me to you.
First of all,
be mine.
Amazing that they played.
This is from Woods.
This is
not from me.
Right. An entire round of golf yesterday.
Paul, I need you to chip in on this one.
It's the kind of day that even me, a dedicated golfer, go, no, I'm not going to play. Yesterday.
100%.
Too wet and rainy, but they got the entire round in. That's Torrey Pines was a beast. I mean, the rough was wet,
long,
and thick, and long,
thick,
and,
long, and wet,
and it was hard to score. You had Denny McCarthy went birdie eagle on his last two holes to shoot 4 under and take the lead. Not the biggest name in the field of big names, but there are some big names near the top of the leaderboard. Scottie Scheffler's at 2 under, even though he 3-putted the last hole, missed like a 3.5-footer for par on his last shot. So he's there. Rory's at even. Michael Kim from Torrey Pines High School is at 1 under. So we'll see. This will be an interesting day. It should be better weather today, and then the weekend should be fine. So, you know, hopefully I'll see. There wasn't a huge crowd out yesterday. Not that I expected a lot of people to show up for that kind of weather. But the rest of the weekend should be pretty good after this morning.
I saw a little sun poking out earlier, and now it's gone, and it's back to
gray.
Looking quite but it's not, cold
it's not,
and gray.
It's not raining, though.
No, it's not raining.
It's not raining, so it should be better. Not
you going out
windy.
At all?
I will probably go out at tomorrow? Some point tomorrow. I think I'm going today.
Are you going to play and then go? That's a Ben day.
Double, yeah,
that's
golf,
like your
double day.
That's like your fantasy.
Yeah,
camp.
I do have a goat tournament tomorrow morning, and then I can go right after and maybe check out the pros. I need to be able to play because anytime I go out there, I'm there for like an hour, and I go, now I just want to go play.
I just want to go play. Just get the playing out of your system.
Exactly.
First. All right.
So, yeah, round two is underway now. Just started about 10 minutes ago at Torrey Pines of the Genesis Invitational. All right, we will check our final traffic, and then Paulie's got the Rindle Report. Final headlines for us before we head for our weekend here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report. With Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
Special Valentine's Day edition.
Yeah, we'll have a Valentine's Day discussion here in just a few minutes. We will start off, how about the world of sports media? I think one of the sharpest guys on camera right now in sports media is Scott Hansen. I watch NFL Red Zone every week. He does a very, very good job. He's blown up. Definitely over the last few years, he's been doing a little bit of other things. I think last year during the Paris Olympics, he was hosting Gold Zone, is what NBC or Peacock called it.
Guy's really found his niche. He's like, I really just wanted to do a game. Like, I want, but I guess I can do it. But he's pigeonholed himself a little bit.
I'm glad you mentioned a game, because he may be hosting a game here soon. So I guess... he's in negotiations still with NFL Network, and those negotiations have stalled. And according to Front Office Sports, Scott Hansen is in talks with NBC, leaving NFL Network potentially for a permanent role with NBC. They want him to return to the Gold Zone, be their primary, like, primetime host during the 2026 Winter Olympics, possibly even the 2028 Summer Olympics in LA. And there's talk that he may even become the next voice of Sunday Night Football.
Wow.
That man, Al can't do it. Well, no, Al doesn't.
He does Thursday.
Tirico is not.
It's Mike Tirico and Chris Collins. Mike Tirico's just not good. Is the
thing. Well, that's harsh.
He's all right.
Not totally wrong. Not totally wrong.
I guess he's better than Chris Collinsworth, but the two of them together, it's not a great combo.
Yeah. I mean, you can't just work 2 weeks every 2 years. I mean, that's a great job if you can get it.
Yeah.
I do Olympic coverage. What are you doing between? Nothing. They just pay me.
So, sit on my ass.
Yeah.
Play golf.
Get ready for the next Olympics.
Yeah, get ready for the next Olympics.
How much you can do there. Who would replace, though, Scott Hansen on Red Zone?
Ben Higgins in the chat.
Well, Andrew Siciliano used to do the other one for Direct TV.
They had two different Red Zones.
Yeah, they had the two different ones. Now they just have the one, I think. But I guess you could go back to Siciliano. I wouldn't mind giving it a shot.
You?
Red Zone?
Red Zone?
Yeah.
He'd be really good at it.
Ben Wood? He would, actually.
You would crush it.
Think about it.
The way your brain works.
Yeah, you got that beautiful mind thing. Yeah.
Tossing the different
games. Terrible. Oh, my God.
Producer in your ear.
I'd have to focus for the entire 6 hours, though. That would be my worry.
You won't be able to watch, like, golf, Sunday golf rounds.
Can't text on your phone all throughout.
No, you wouldn't. You really have to be locked in. I have a pretty strong bladder. Where I could make it through.
Yeah, you definitely could.
I could do that, I think. Well, maybe I'll throw my hat in the ring.
Do it.
Good luck.
Thank you.
If they have trials,
and it's Sunday, so I still could do my regular stuff with you during the week.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to kind of ask for some help with this second story, whether it's from you guys or in the chat, because I'm not going to pretend to be a big hockey fan. I enjoy playoff hockey.
You've come to the right place, Paulie. Me and Ben.
This is all you've been talking about in between breaks. Yeah. All morning long.
Ask the expert.
Was the Four Nations face-off that's happening right now in the NHL. And I was reading up a little bit about it. It's temporarily replacing the NHL All-Star Game, which I don't think was a huge hit with a lot of people.
Correct.
Just like a lot of the Pro Bowl, NBA All-Star Weekend, also this weekend, I believe. But the NHL is doing something different, and I don't know. It says temporarily, so I don't know if it's only for 1 year. I don't know if they're going to go back to a standard NHL All-Star Game format next year or whatever, but what the NHL is doing right now, it's the Four Nations Face-Off, and that is a small international tournament. Okay. The four teams are the United States, Canada, Finland, and Sweden, and basically everybody else is getting like a 10-day break during the season. But if you are selected to one of those four teams and want to represent your country, they're playing like real matches. It's kind of like, I guess, again, maybe I'm speaking out of turn. It feels like a little bit of a World Baseball Classic type feel in replace of the All-Star Game.
I mean,
which we have talked about in the past as a potential, hey, could this help? Like, maybe reduce injuries when you're doing the WBC every other year in March, and maybe guys aren't ready, or it screws up their spring training.
Yeah, so the difference would be, you're talking about moving the WBC to a different time, as opposed to replacing the All-Star Game with the WBC.
Right.
It's different in my mind. There's nothing wrong with the Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. It's the only one where they give effort in. It's the only one where, you know, guys, Paul Skeen's going to throw 100 miles an hour. You know, I mean, it is. This is different, man. This is like, these guys are kind of playing for country. Again, I'm not probably, if we had a hockey team here in San Diego, an NHL team,
100%.
And two of our guys that were really good and we were in it are like, we're off to play this tournament. Would we?
Well, the league's off.
Until they're not. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, an All-Star weekend, you're not worried about a guy getting hurt.
Right.
A tournament like this, a world tournament, you know what I mean? Like, those guys could go out there and get hurt. You know, they're hockey players. They're fine. But, you know, there's that risk.
I love the idea, though.
I think the idea is kind of cool.
It's innovative.
It's always the timing of when these things go down.
United States won last night, 6-1 in their first match. Got a couple more matches tomorrow.
I think what's interesting here is that you have teammates who then are playing against each other because they're from different countries. So that's intriguing to me to then see. That's what's kind of fun about the World Baseball Classic. You can actually have one teammate. One teammate go up against the other one.
Awesome.
With the All-Star Game, that never happens because they're representing the National League. They're always on the
same. Trout versus Ohtani for the WBC.
That was great. Yeah, for the title. Teammates going up against each other. So that you can see this in hockey. Next year, they're actually going to have the Olympics. They're going to do it. They've never done hockey NHL players because it's always the same time and they didn't want to send them away. But they're going to do that next year, too. So this is kind of a teaser for Olympic hockey next year in 2026.
Yeah. More wear and tear, but better entertainment, I think.
Well, 5 o'clock tomorrow night on ABC, ESPN, Disney networks. You'll have USA and Canada. Tomorrow morning on ABC is Finland and Sweden at 10 a.m. But, if you want to catch any of the Four Nations face-off, I think it's a fun idea.
Yeah, it is.
Different.
Different.
I mean, I'm in the minority. I don't care about the All-Star Game for any sport.
Yeah.
Just I agree with you that baseball does it the best.
They do.
But none of them really do anything for me.
Still gets me so excited every year.
And they're back to real uniforms this year.
Yeah. They're wearing their own.
Yeah.
And they got the big letters back.
You said that during the break.
Yeah.
Jesse Agler just corrected the Nike uniform mistake from last year.
Tiny little Cronenworth. Now they get the big.
His name's already smaller.
I know.
Because you got to get it all on
That's
the back
exactly
of the jersey.
Right.
All right, and then finally, a little Valentine's Day fun here. Some unexpected Valentine's Day trends, according to Google. If you go on Google Trends, you can see what's trending, whether it's locally, regionally, nationally, internationally, and Google has released some of their Valentine's Day stats. They said number one was that most women would rather stay in on Valentine's Day. 63% of women on Google Trends say that celebrating at home sounds more fun than going out. 55% of them, 62% of people overall just think a home-cooked meal is more romantic than a fancy restaurant.
Who's cooking the home-cooked meal, though?
Maybe you do it together.
That never works. It's never once worked.
Someone really has to be in charge.
Nobody that cooks wants anybody else in their kitchen.
Correct.
Ever.
I help my wife, but I'm not.
I do too.
Directing. She tells me.
You like buy groceries and stuff. That's different than like. You want to dice these green peppers?
I'll do dishes.
Yeah,
dishes. But I'm not there underfoot in the kitchen.
Nobody wants that.
Right, but then someone then has to kind of do all the work, and then it doesn't feel like it's... That's why you go out, because neither of you has to do anything.
They do it in the movies.
Ben, hands!
Yeah, they do it in the movies where a nice couple that starts day, they're drinking wine, and I'll put a little flour on your nose.
Could you chop that onion for me?
Oh, no problem,
babe. It always works out so well.
The big, nice, roomy, spacious kitchen.
Huge island,
then
plenty of room.
Make love on the island in the middle.
Right.
And wine spills somehow, everywhere.
Somehow dinner still turns out great.
Delicious. You know,
if you were actually doing that, many things would burn.
That's right.
It would be a mess.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Let's see. The next trend is that 52% of women think a Valentine's Day proposal is overrated.
My mom got proposed to by my dad on Valentine's Day. Yeah. Huh? It's a good bit.
There's a 1 in 2 chance that she thought that was overrated.
Now she loved it.
All right.
So, guys, if you're thinking about popping the question tonight, hey, there's a little extra stress for you.
Good, yeah, good. Hey, by the way, if you're going to do it tonight, she probably hates it.
Throw that into your mind
and
right
maybe
now.
You should postpone it.
You weren't already nervous about it,
right.
as it was.
Let's see here. Google says the top trending Valentine's Day date this year is going to an arcade, followed by zoos, and then a couple's spa.
Ooh. Also something that doesn't really work.
Paint and sip party made the top 10.
All right.
There's nothing romantic about a zoo.
No.
You stroll around, hold hands.
Well,
yeah. Looking at the animals.
Smelling the animals.
Arcade is interesting, though. Number one.
If I tried to tell my wife we're going to arcade, she would murder me. She'd murder me in my sleep. Sick. I don't want to play video games.
You know, the more hip, like... hipster arcades,
yeah, that's
that
true.
You can go to, but
like coin op or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And let's see, 41% of men want a male equivalent to Galentine's Day, which is a thing that started, I think, was it Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
I think started that trend like 15 years ago when that show was on the air.
But
the day before Valentine's Day is Galentine's Day.
But isn't that for single girls to go out?
I don't think so.
I thought it was for single women.
I think it's for married or single women.
Well, I mean.
I think it's for married or single women that just want to celebrate being together with women. Like just
a guy wants a guy's night out.
Yeah, guy's night out on like the day before Valentine's Day.
I mean, if she's out on Galentine's Day, go out. I'm nuts. Well, so you can still go out. Who's stopping
you're
you?
Watching the kids when she's out.
What if you have no kids?
Then honestly, you can do whatever you want.
It's the truest thing you've ever said. If you have, when I had no kids, I could do whatever I wanted. And it was pretty glorious. It was pretty glorious.
I never know whether to be sorry for my married friends who just don't have kids, like Pauly, or envious of them.
Well, you
don't have to feel sorry for me, buddy.
I go through waves.
Yeah.
Some days I'm like, man, this is the greatest. Then other days, I'm like, somebody take these heathens from me.
You like to think that someday they'll be taking care of you when you're older. But
I don't want them taking care of me. I don't. I don't trust
necessarily
them.
See
I don't trust
I don't
them
either.
To take care of me.
I didn't do a good enough job raising you to take care of me later, so that's not going to work out. All right, Annie and Elston are coming up next. They'll have more Padres sound, Jason Hayward, and more from Peoria. Hope everybody has a great weekend, great Valentine's Day, great President's Day. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. For Pauly and Woods, I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Friday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long.